Grab your cocktail shaker, kick back, and get ready for the big fat party. Greg and his band of unintelligibles are back, mixing, drinking, reviewing, and discussing Bloody Marys and all that goes with them. My Big Fat Bloody Mary podcast, where you'll never drink alone.
Welcome to My Big Fat Bloody Mary podcast, where you will never drink alone. And I am not drinking alone. I'm here with Mike Scott from La Crosse, a local storyteller who does walking tours of the haunted sites around town.
Yeah, so there's about a dozen places that are supposedly haunted in downtown La Crosse, and I take a little tourists and locals alike a little walking tour through downtown, tell those stories, and it's been real popular. This last fall, I had my best season yet. I would have, like on a Saturday, I'd have 50.
Yeah.
Over 50 people followed me on the street. It was so large that...
How large was it?
It was so large that people were honking and sometimes swearing at us because they thought we were protesting something. So that's how big the crowds were.
Wow.
But it was lots of fun.
So, yeah, you got to a point where you have a gravitational pull of sorts.
I do.
Nice.
And the best part is I thought, well, maybe if I carried a sign that said the ghosts of historic La Crosse, people would be less likely to honk and swear at us and think that we are protesting. It made it worse because people weren't bothering to read the sign. The sign said they're protesting something, and it got way worse. So I'm just like, ditch the sign and just
people are idiots.
Just deal with it.
I mean, most of us, myself included, are illiterate. So, yeah, I can see where the sign.
That's where our storytellers come in.
Yeah. So you do a little writing too, right?
I do. Yes.
Yeah.
So I was a copywriter, advertising copywriter for years. And I wrote lots of radio commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written scripts for, the Dark La Crosse series, which was produced by the public library.
Mm-hmm.
I would write those scripts. And that started as a walking tour. And now it's been a video, it's been a podcast, it's been lots of different things, but all pulling from those scripts. Oh, and I should explain, Dark La Crosse is stories of murders,
mm-hmm.
We talk about all the brothels that were in La Crosse, anything that was...
Yeah. What's with all the brothels? I swear to God, every historic property boasts of having been a brothel at one point, which, why is that such a calling card?
I knew La Crosse had a lot of brothels.
Yeah.
But until I got involved with these projects, I didn't really understand exactly how many there were.
Wow.
So this was in, I'm not sure about the exact date, but it was around 1890 or so.
Yeah.
There was a guy who was running for mayor of La Crosse, and he said that he had a list of 40 to 50 brothels operating within the city of La Crosse.
Four times as many churches.
Right.
Well, I love that. And today I want to do a little bit more of the kind of the local stuff. And so I'm really proud of my town. This show is more of a national and even international audience, but we have a lot of people locally listening too. But I kind of want to show off a little bit what a cool town it is. So these stories are really spot on. Speaking of local, I had a great night last night at an event with some live music, and it was sponsored by a local distillery who basically stocked the bar with their different spirits. Got talking with the manager. He's a big fan of the podcast, and his name's Chubba. That's his nickname. And we talked about a little sponsorship. So today is our first day being sponsored by the La Crosse Distillery. And so we're going to enjoy Field Notes. It's an organic vodka. A pretty high end. It's probably a little too good for what we got going, but, you know, am I going to say no?
Oh, no, I would never say no to them.
I am not. I took a little sample last night, you know, once I was punched out, of course. And just on its own, it's, oh my God.
I agree. Just that over ice is fantastic.
Yep.
A little slice of lemon or lime in there.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you can sneak a cheaper vodka into a bloody if it's got a lot of seasoning in that.
Yes.
But you pour it over ice or you make a martini and, yeah, you're not going to pull any monkey business. It's got to be good. Anyway, this stuff is really good. So big thanks to La Crosse Distillery for that partnership. The next thing I want to talk about is the product that we're going to review. Now, they're not local.
Now, before we get, I do want to mention the La Crosse Distillery. So I walk right by there when I do my ghost tour. I walk by there every night. And if there is a more charming building in the city of La Crosse, yeah, you know, you'd have to convince me of it.
Yeah.
It is so welcoming. And what I love is they have that outdoor fireplace.
Yeah.
A wood burning fireplace. It's not, you know, a gas, we just flip it on, but you're putting those logs in there.
Yeah.
And it's like potpourri for the city, that wood smoke. And
nice.
It's a wonderful place. Not only is it a great place to hang out, but I mean, just great food and the drink, spectacular.
Yeah, they do a tremendous job. And that's it's a new building, but it really does, like you say, have a lot of charm. And I think it was one of the first places in our little burg that actually had the kind of the integrating indoor-outdoor, you know, overhead doors. And, you know, in a winter climate like ours, that maybe was a little slow coming. But, yeah, I agree with you. Everything you said about that place.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great destination. Moving east, though, we're gonna review Eastern Shore Bloody Mary Mix. Bold flavor, moderate spice. So that's going to be our next thing. Now, last week, if you didn't listen, check it out. We've reviewed a real interesting mix. It's a powder, I Chihuahua seasonings. They have like these hurricane dust seasonings and then a Bloody Mary seasoning. And I actually went online and ordered more of it. Now, bear in mind, I'm receiving, I don't know, a dozen, half a dozen mixes in the mail, you know, month after month. So I don't really have to go out looking for seasonings, but the I Chihuahua is so versatile. Take it traveling. You know, it's just a nice product to have on your shelf, and it's stable. So
that sounds great.
Yeah, go back and take a listen to that. We had Mike Caucut on, and it was really a blast. So, but let's get to. I'm getting thirsty. I don't know about you.
I am. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. I'll pour us a couple. And what we've been doing is first tasting it without the vodka.
Yes.
And kind of take it in. And then we'll try it with the vodka. So if you want to, I know, yeah, you know a little bit about the company and we've got some notes about them. Do you want to sort of look at that while I'm...
I do. While you pour, I'm going to read I'm going to tell the company story here. Born of the Chesapeake Bay. Not your average Bloody Mary. And they wrote, as young men, our founders learned to crab the shores of the Chesapeake. Rising early in the morning, when the air was crisp with the brackish waters of the bay and a cool fog being burned off by the sun, we would walk to our favorite spots, bushel baskets and nets in hand, to reap the bay's bounty. When we arrived homes, our baskets overflowing, it was time for a homemade breakfast. For decades, our family handed down recipes for steaming crabs, crab cakes, soft shells, and the Eastern Shore Bloody Mary. Now we are sharing our family's secret with you. We hope our mix fills you with warmth of sunsets and sunrises over the water, the laughter of family sharing meals on the back deck, and the spice of life that can only be found in the land of pleasant living. You know, that copywriter knew what he was doing. He or she knew what they were doing. Fantastic.
I do a little copywriting myself, Mike, and I was impressed by that, too. I thought, how apropos that something so well-written right after talking about that. Well, so I just poured us a little, and my early kind of impression visually It's a very dark.
Very dark,
very
yes.
dark mix. I would call it moderately thick. What do you think?
Yes, I would agree with that assessment as well. Boy, lots of spices in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that looks great.
You want to take a look at the bottle? Tell our listeners what you see.
All right, well, I see it just, it's almost a, it'd be a kind of a nautical font on there. And then, Eastern Shore, Bloody Mary, bold flavor, moderate spice. And there's mm-hmm. a crab on the thick.
It's a subtle crab. It's not yes, some big no. cartoony. It's just sort of a nope. like a watermark on the label.
Yes, yes. Yes, I love a nice label.
Yeah, it's classy. It's
yes.
Yep, kind of understated, but pops nice. And
yes.
It's a good-looking label. And the mix itself, like you said, I see little bits along the edge of the bottle of, I don't know, what are those, black pepper? Maybe celery seed, I bet. Well, let's give it a taste.
Yeah, cheers.
Mmm, some sweetness.
Mm,
That is celery seed.
Oh, yeah,
I taste that
definitely
right away.
Tastes the celery.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
which I absolutely love. And then a little tart at the end, right? Some
yes.
citrus or...
Yeah, very tart finish, but yeah, very good.
You don't
good.
Get it right away, though.
Mm-mm.
Hmm. Nice. You know, though, we're getting up there. We get forgetful in our old age. Is there something missing here? I know, aside from the vodka, which is the obvious thing.
It's embarrassing. We forgot the chaser.
God damn, we're in... Wisconsin
but you know what?
Here.
We haven't added the vodka yet, so I think it's okay. We
Is
were just trying the mix.
Okay, so we have an excuse.
No foul.
Okay, no harm, no foul. Well, okay, so let's open up the chaser. And keeping with sort of our local lacrosse focus, what we're having here is from the Pearl Street Brewery, which is just a great local brewery. I love these guys. They sponsor my house concerts. And they've just been really great to work with, and they're cutting edge. They're always trying new beers, and most of them are really good.
Yes,
a couple of clinkers. Let's be honest. You know, you can't all go out of the park. But this one, I think, is definitely a winner. It's the Juicy IPA called the Supreme Fatty.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this. This stuff is
yeah.
good.
Yeah, let me hook
again,
you
this
up.
This is newer in their lineup.
Yep.
Than the last couple of years, I would say.
Yeah.
I also want to put in a plug for their spot. Now, so we talked about the new building. The Pearl Street Brewery is in an old boot factory, and it is massive. It is a huge, very old factory. But what they have done to keep the historic flavor of the building and to kind of... charm it up. They have, again, another fantastic place to go to when you're here in town.
I've literally gotten lost in that building. I had to appraise it one time in a former life before I, you know, achieved the status I have now as podcaster.
Right.
But yeah, it's amazing. We used to keep our troops in boots, and it was a big, big operation there. So a lot of space to film. But I like what they've done there, too. It still has the original feel, but there's kind of that nice, kind of clean, postmodern sort of... I'm not an expert in, architecture, but it is. It's got a real cool vibe in
it. It is. Very cool place.
Yeah. So this, I think, complements pretty well. We're going from a little kind of... bolder, intense sweetness. Yeah, I like this mix right out of the chute. Celery salt, some sweetness, almost like a barbecue-y sort of sweetness. Let's take a look at the ingredients here. Tomato paste, a little corn syrup, that'll give it the sweet, some horseradish, Worcestershire. Yeah, definitely fair amount of that. A little distilled vinegar, that's probably where we're getting the...
The tart,
some sea salt, and I'll take a picture of the ingredients. I always do that, and I put it on the show notes.
Nice.
Go to mybigfatbloodymary.com, and you can see there's actually a player where you can listen to this podcast, but I'll have sort of the highlights from the review and links to the company and some photos of the bottle and what it looks like. But I don't know about you, but I could use a little bit of this Field Notes organic vodka.
Let's do it. Actually, I don't know if it's the copy or the mix, but I have a big urge for like a crab boil or something.
I know. Was that just planted when we're reading the story of the? But yeah, it. I feel you. Yeah. Well, let's see. I love that.
That
sound.
Is a pretty sound,
isn't it? Sounds like victory. And we want to get that mixed real nice. I might just pour mine in and out of a shaker.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Is that crazy? Yeah,
I do the same.
This event that I bartended at last night, I probably threw out about 50 bloodies and 50 old fashions and. The one thing I insist upon is really getting it mixed well. You know, I don't. I've seen people throw that bloody out, and it's you just see the vodka at the bottom, and then the mix floating at the top, and then they hand them a big straw and say, "Enjoy." Whoa! So we got it mixed up. Just give it a try. So your impressions, Mike, of kind of how it has evolved now that we've introduced the vodka. He's speechless.
This is a sipper. I would not. This is would be a you know a blander Bloody Mary you might drink quicker, but I think this one because there's a lot of flavor happening here.
Even with the vodka, some mixes when you add the vodka, it thins them out to a point where they almost lose their character. This one, it hasn't lost any of the character.
No.
I don't think it. To me, it's like it often does, separated the flavors and makes them more distinguishable. And like now the celery is, you know, I feel like I just took a little celery seed and put it right on my tongue, which I love.
I do find that interesting, you know, because we had tried the mix on its own. And then when we added the Field Notes, very different, noticeably different. And I was a little surprised by that. I think that's why I was kind of speechless there for a second. But, wow, really good.
Well, people who listen to the podcast, and they're few and far between, but those hardcore people that actually do know that we have had a range of differences. There's, and I can't remember the brands off the top of my head, but I remember one that we tasted it first, we added vodka, and it was like no difference, you know? And then we've had them where, you know, we taste it on their own. God, that's really good. That's really good. And then you add vodka, and it just sort of, bam, falls flat, you know? and then some of the, I think more with the thicker mixes, the vodka, I think, really helps it out. Mm-hmm. And I always want to review it with vodka because I think about the end user, you know.
Yes.
Typically, that's how it's going to be drank. So I think that's the more important way to rate these things.
And the Supreme Fatty Juicy IPA, was that just a blind pick? You're like, wow, I think the perfect combo. 1-2 punch.
Have you ever looked in my refrigerator?
I have not. There,
you will find about a dozen Bloody Mary mixes and probably a dozen different beers. So each of these shows I go through, I grab the bottle, I look at it, and I make kind of my best estimate of what's going to be a good chaser. So, no, there was a bit of thought that went into that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think.
Top notch, top notch.
Yeah. Yeah, with a, I'd call it thick, bold, a bit sweet, hearty, you know, and tangy at the end.
Yes.
And you go from that to a little sip, you know, of this super fatty, and that's a nice little symbiotic relationship. So on their website, and there's going to be a link on the show notes on mybigfatbloodymary.com, I learned that the retail cost is $11 a bottle, or you can get a case for $111. Now, I'm no mathemagician, But it sounds like there might be some savings.
I think you're right.
You buy more. Unless there are 10 in a... I don't know.
My math is so bad that I wouldn't be able to figure that out.
But. They've got a nice website, though, and I'll put a link to that, too. You should go check them out. I like what they got going. So, God, we're having a blast. We're sitting out. I've got a new studio that I constructed here recently, and that's if you notice that the sound is impeccable, that's why.
Oh, high end.
That's why. We got to run the heat pretty good out here, though. It's more of a front porch. It's heated, but it leaks like a sieve. And for those of you that don't live in lovely, lively La Crosse on Wisconsin's sunny West Coast, you may not realize that it's been hovering around 0 degrees as of late.
Yes. Yeah. About a month of sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah. You see the forecast and like the high is 9. You know, oh, that's what we have to look forward to. But in Wisconsin, we're such a hardy breed. You know, I love, you're in the grocery store, you're passing someone on the street, and, you know, the first person says, holy cow, it's cold out there. And inevitably, the other person says, yeah, but it's not snowing.
That's right.
At least the sun is out. You know, we always seem to find, you know, it could always be worse.
You have to. You have to. It lasts so long. I love how, you know, that last cold snap that we had of, you know, just sub-zero temperatures, wind chill, 30 below for a couple of days there.
Yeah.
And
that's real.
And then it got up into like the mid-20s, and I saw people walking into the grocery store without a coat on.
Yes.
I mean, it was balmy.
I was one of those. I grilled out. I'm not kidding.
It was 24 degrees. But there, so there is a, I follow this philosophy. There is a Norwegian word, and it's frutlustliv.
It's, what is it?
Frutlustliv.
Okay.
That's how you say it, pronounce it in Norwegian.
Sure.
And it means the open air life. And now Norwegians and Scandinavia, they have a lot of winter and lots of darkness. And this fruit list of this is a big part of it, of you don't hide away, you don't hibernate during winter, but you go out and you embrace it. So you take walks, you go snowshoeing, you go ice skating, you engage in it, and you look forward to it. You have those activities that this is my time to do it, and you do them with friends. So it's very, you're out doing things together. But then another big part of that is coming inside and being around fire, whether, you know, being around fire or, and then, pouring Bloody Marys like this. And I mean, that's how you do it. That's how you survive this climate.
Now, to me, I'm an avid indoorsman. That, to me, sounds like banging your fingers with a hammer because it feels so good when you stop. But no, I agree. That is the way to cope with these extreme temperatures. I used to run a lot, and I, as I age, I have different injuries that have kept me from it as much. But I always felt like, if I got out in the morning, I got on top of the weather and went out for a run until I was sweating, I could do it, you know? I felt like I was more in control. So there's some wisdom in that, those Norwegians.
Well, and it's exactly, so I do a lot of winter camping. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy, it's so different from camping in the summertime. First of all, I mean, if you're looking for solitude, go camping in the wintertime. You're not going to find too many people out there.
Nope.
You don't have to deal with bugs. And
oh, if you do, man, those are some badass bugs.
Those are some badass bugs.
They're going to win.
Actually, it's interesting. You know, we were up in a yurt up in the Porcupine Mountains in the UP of Michigan in January. My wife, I talked my wife into coming to this yurt with me.
She's a good sport.
She is a good sport. Well, we have an agreement.
Okay.
She will go to a yurt. Yeah. In the wintertime with this little wood-burning stove for 2 nights. But then I have to spring for a really nice lodge or something for the following night.
I see a pattern here. You know, like she will allow you to bang her fingers with a hammer because it feels so good when you stop.
It is. But that, and but you know, I think that is another big thing about winter camping is when you, I mean, you just come home and you're so grateful for your house, you know. Yeah, yeah. Wow, my water isn't, you know, frozen solid. I have a hot shower. I have a dishwasher, you know. So it just, it makes you appreciate your house. You know, heat on command. I want it warm.
Right, right. the things, you take for granted and you appreciate.
Yeah. But if you are going to go winter camping, make sure you, the gear is the thing. You don't want to go with the summer bag and say, I'm going to go winter camping. So you're going to have to invest in a 0-degree bag. And years ago, I invested in a sleeping bag that is rated to minus 30 degrees. And I have not even come close to testing if it is still warm at minus 20, but that really does the trick. So if you are going to do that, make sure you...
That's good advice. If I could offer any, I used to do a lot of winter camping too. And one tip I would give is don't do it. I'm kidding. Moisture is not your friend. A buddy and I hiked to the top of a bluff here in town, a foothill for those of you out west, it would be sort of like that. But we were really humping it trying to get to our spot. And I got a big sweat going, you know, and then I climb into that bag and it was one of those, rated to minus 20 or whatever, but you're screwed. You know, you get in there, you know, road hard and put up wet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Moisture is death in the Arctic.
It's not good. It's not good. Yeah. Hey, so a lot of this stuff is, I've seen pictures and you post it on social media. If our listeners are intrigued by any of this nonsense, how do they track you down? And I mean, like, give us your social security number, your mother's maiden name, and whatever your handle is on Twitter or whatever.
Well, let's see. My Instagram page is Old School Variety.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I love that show.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, to go back here a little bit. So for about 13 years, I produced a show called The Old School Variety Show.
Yeah.
And you have been a part of those. And so to build an old school variety show, I need two musical acts. I need a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And then I need what I would call... a novelty act, you know, a magician, juggler.
Those were the wild cards.
They were the wild ones.
As I recall. Yep.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I had a guy eat fire. these shows were, the idea was to recreate entertainment before television and movies where, you know, in the wintertime, you would pour a Bloody Mary and a chaser like this. And then people would just share their talents. Someone would be on the piano and they would play a few songs, and someone else would grab a guitar and they would sing a few songs. Someone else would get up and tell a joke or a story, and then someone else might recite a little poetry, and that was your evening's entertainment. So that was the idea behind the Old School Variety Show.
Those are a great time.
The biggest thing I had trouble with was because we had storytellers on the show. And being a storyteller and sharing stories and being a walking tour guide, the thing about stories is they encourage people to, like, well, I have a story to tell.
And
sometimes things would go all right.
Yeah.
In that someone who was a musical guest would, you know, go into a story. We had a guy who was on the show to play the Celtic harp. Show was in March. Mm-hmm. So he told a story about the history of the Celtic harp, which lasted about 19 minutes.
Oh, my God. Well, now that you have said that, I guess I owe you an apology, because I know the last time my band Big Liquor played, I was inspired by some of the other acts, and I did attempt some fire swallowing, and that, as you recall, did not go well.
It did not.
It kind of interrupted the show with the EMTs and everything, but I get it. I get it. Well, let's wrap it up here. I have really enjoyed Eastern Shore Bloody Mary mix, and I have really enjoyed the Field Notes vodka here from La Crosse Distillery, and God dang, the super fatty IPA from the Pearl Street Brewery. We've been spoiled rotten, really. But yeah. This is a real trinity of flavors.
Yeah, it really is. A 1-2 punch. Ooh, a so one, good.
Yeah. Well, next week we're going to be reviewing Stew's Concentrate, which is another interesting product. You know, we did a dried mix last week. We're doing a bottled mix kind of ready to go this week. Next week it's going to be a concentrate that you add to tomato juice and do your...
I'm a big fan of those.
Our listeners probably have recognized that I still haven't had Lynn Miller now. This is two shows in a row where they are missing out on her golden vocals. The Velvet Fog. I don't know about Mel yes. Torme, but it's real. Lynn really is the one that owns that.
I agree.
But I promise next week we're going to get Lynn back. And she just, you know, okay, I'm going to let my hair down a little here. It's about money. She knows. She's got me over a barrel. She's the talent.
She
and
is.
We're on a kind of a shoestring budget here, you know. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to pay her what she thinks she's worth, and we'll get her back. So I do this for you, the listeners. Thanks for joining us. It's been a blast, and we look forward to you hearing us next week. So you can drink alone all week, but come next week, there's no reason for you to do it.
Oh, none whatsoever.
No, it's your own fault if you do.